This is a massive announcement from the state government in regards to hemp growing and farming, with the THC level going to be lifted. I have someone that knows much more about this than I possibly ever could, and that is Bronwyn Blake, who is actually a farmer at the Vass Valley there. Morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Now, this is going to be almost like a bit of an educational lesson for me because I'm very interested, but I know next to nothing. Let's start off with the first thing, THC. What is THC?
THC, now let me pronounce this correctly, is tetrahydrocannabinol.
Okay.
And that is one of the many, many compounds in the cannabis plant that makes it unique, I guess. So THC is the psychoactive component that gives you the high if you are smoking a high THC plant. But in hemp, THC is really, really, really low. You can smoke a whole crop of hemp, and I think all you'll get really is a headache and perhaps a bit of nausea.
Yep.
So that's the difference between industrial hemp and its marijuana cousin, is that it's got very low THC.
Okay, that makes sense then. So what does it mean to you when they've increased the level, from 0.35 to now 1%?
It's brilliant for us, absolutely brilliant, because 0.35 is very, very low. And with the varieties that we've been growing in the past that are available in WA at the moment, the crop had a tendency to throw over. So, for example, our first harvest came in at 0.37%, right mm-hmm. on that border, but it just meant that we couldn't sow that seed for the following year.
Oh.
So basically there was not a lot we could do with the seed. We've still got the seed, so now that the law's changed, we can actually use that seed for food.
Mm-hmm.
So not all is lost.
But, that's good.
And we could also sow it again, actually, but it's a bit old now, so we'd it wouldn't be as viable. But it just means that we can actually use our harvest in many more ways, whereas before, you know, we'd have farmers come in with THC at about 0.5%, and there's nothing they could do with that. It's a waste of crop.
So what is hemp actually used for?
Oh, so many things. Where do I start? The hemp plant itself is so versatile, and that's what makes it so attractive. The stem of the plant, there's two components for that. You can divide it into fiber and herd. The fiber is what we use for clothing and paper. The herd is what we use for building homes and other things.
Wow.
The seed is great for human consumption. It can be pressed for oil as well. It's about 35% oil in the seed. The leaf, I think some people make, and the bud can make CBD oil with.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can use it for composting. There's about 20,000 to 50,000 different uses end uses from the hemp plant. So it's probably one of the most versatile agricultural crops out there.
Yeah, sounds like it. I understand you guys actually used it for beer as well. Is that true?
It sure is, yeah.
Wow.
We thought, why not start with the best product out there?
But, yeah.
So what we do at Vass Valley is we actually roast our seed because that gives it a really, really gorgeous, intense, unique flavor, and we incorporate that into the beer, and that's what gives Dr. Wheaties its really nice, unique, nutty toast flavor that people pick out. So it's a delicious beer, actually. It's quite popular with the ladies as well. Have you tried it yourself?
No, I haven't, but I'm keen to give it a go. I like the idea of that.
Oh yeah, it's good. It gives you quite a buzz.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to giving that a go. Well, so overall, long story short, this is a positive move by the state government, and it means that you can actually use a lot more of your crop if it ever does run at the risk of going over that 0.35.
Yeah, it's just given farmers a lot more flexibility and lowered the risk of growing hemp. So it's a fantastic decision, and we're really grateful to the government for pushing this along and for supporting hemp growers out there.
Excellent. Well, thanks, Bronwyn, for the chat.
Thank you. Good to talk to you.
We've got a man on the line from the Black Dog Ride, Steve Ingram. Morning to you, mate.
Good morning. How's it going?
Really good, mate. I love what you guys do. Such a worthwhile cause, raising money, spreading the awareness of depression. It's such a good thing that you guys do, and you guys got another ride coming up.
Yes, we have. Coming up on Sunday, the 18th of March. Look, in 41 locations all around Australia, this ride will kick off. There'll be in excess of 7,000 riders nationwide.
Wow.
So ours kicks off in Busselton on Sunday the 18th here. And if you're really early, if you register online as a rider for Black Dog Ride, before 12 a.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time on the 9th of March, you'll be in it to win a 19,995 brand new Indian motorcycle. How good's that?
I saw a picture of it, mate. It is very, very good. Beautiful looking bike.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But we need to get out there and we need to raise awareness. I mean, this charity was founded 10 years ago by Steve Andrews. He was a local Busselton fellow. Since then, they've raised in excess of $2.5 million.
Wow.
So yes, and that goes mainly. We go to our local money goes to Lifeline in Busselton.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps keep people on phones to help people with depression and suicide.
Yeah, I imagine you got a lot of blokes hanging out for events like this, just as a way of catching up with everyone as well.
Oh, it is, it is. And Black Dog Ride, not only do they do the one day, but they have rides all over Australia. Currently, there's a group at Phillip Island from all over Australia. They've just all been to Tasmania. And later on this year, there's a ride going to Darwin. So, yeah, we're expecting around about 300 bikes.
Excellent.
We'll kick off in Busselton, have morning tea in Nanup, then end up with a sausage sizzle at the PCYC in Collie.
Yeah, sounds like a magnificent day, mate, and for really what is a great cause. People want more details, where can they go?
Oh, go to the website, honestly, look, theblackdogride.com.au/1-2018WA, and all the details are there. See how to register. As I say, register early, you'll be in the draw for the new bike. Go for it.
Excellent, mate. Thanks for the chat today, and good luck with it all.
Thanks, buddy. Hope to see you all there. See you now.
Camilla Dawson to chat about what's coming out in the Busselton at Dunsborough Mail. Good morning to you.
How are you going?
Very busy edition, as they always are, but I'll kick it off with, well, normally I'm sad about when someone shaves off their beard, but this is for a good reason.
Yeah, that's right. So Scott Robinson, who's actually owner of Jack in the Box in Busselton, has been growing his beard for about 5 years now and hadn't seen his clean-shaven face for 22 years.
Wow.
And despite $11,000 towards cancer research, which is awesome.
That is awesome to hear. I love it. Also, state government in the paper as well in regards to FIFO's mental health.
Yeah, that's right. So they've just been working on what they call a code of practice for FIFO companies to improve mental health within the workers. And the draft code of practice is now out for comment. And we've also got a local family from Cable who you know, experienced FIFO and talk about the struggles of it.
Excellent. And to wrap it all up, I mean, everyone's talking about this, the cheese record.
Yeah, that's right. There was a huge turnout at the Margaret River Cheese Factory on the weekend for the record cheese tasting attempt. And we've got a whole heap of awesome photos in the paper.
Excellent. Good to hear, Jamila. Thanks for the chat today.
No worries, thank you.
This bit of news out of China is a bit interesting. Since this video has been filmed, it has gone viral, and it's a kid in an elevator. Now, the thing is, why has it gone viral is the kid is actually peeing in the elevator, which, you know, when you go to the city, you do kind of, like, get that scent, and you go, oh, gross, that's gross. But this kid, not just peeing in the corner of an elevator, no, he's peeing, like, all over the buttons.
Oh, it's average behaviour.
It's disgusting.
Far too often we hear stories about, you know, kids or people getting away with taking the mickey, getting away with things. But this is a little bit different because there's instant retribution.
Yeah.
Instant karma.
So he starts peeing on the actual buttons of the elevator, which is just gross, first of all.
Absolutely.
He's sitting there and he's trying to, like, you know, trying, you know, when you're a teenager, you're trying to get as high as you can.
He's not sitting there, he's standing there jumping, trying to...
Well, yeah, when you go, when you're in a urinal, you try and go as high as you can just to see, you know, if you can break your own record.
I do, is that what you do?
Well, that's what you do. Well, that's what I did anyway. Well, this kid's trying to break his own record and he's sitting there, and he's peeing, he's got all over the buttons and stuff. And
then it's disgusting.
It is gross. And then the elevator gets to his floor. Unfortunately for him, the doors don't open.
Starts tapping buttons, malfunction. And lights then, start flashing.
Well, it looks like something out of the Poltergeist. Like, it looks like just like the elevator's become possessed. All the buttons start flashing.
But the doors don't open.
Kid starts panicking, starts jumping up and down, and then the lights in the elevator start going off as well. And the kid just gets basically instant karma.
Karma, my boy.
So there's a lesson in that for anyone listening this morning. Yeah. Don't pee in elevators.
Don't piss in an elevator.
Especially in buttons, on the buttons. Don't do that. I mean, there's only a few individuals that applies to that's listening this morning, but I hope they learned their lesson.
Doubt. Give it a Google today if you want to chuckle.
Yeah, definitely do. That's pretty funny. Last night, Cliff tagged me in something on Twitter. Whenever I get a little notification that Cliff's tagged me in something, I'm like, oh, this could be anything.
It could be anything.
This could be absolutely anything. I'll tell you, rather than me telling the story completely, I will set it up. I'll say that there was a man on an ATV and in Kansas, in the United States of America, and here's the guy witnessing it.
Swear to God, white dude, naked as a jaybird, on an ATV, running against traffic on I-29.
Oh.
The cops have a rolling roadblock. I swear to God, there's like 12 of them behind us. This dude is butt naked. Holy. There's like seven more getting on the highway. He's getting ready to pass us.
And then he's passing them.
Dude is naked.
He's just completely stalkers riding straight down the freeway.
Isn't that on everyone's bucket list, mate? Riding a four-wheeler on Forest Highway in the noon?
I don't know about you. It's not on mine, but yeah.
No, but yeah, no, that actually happened. So the fellas, driven a four-wheeler the wrong way through traffic, police chase, Kansas City, and now he's on charges.
Yeah, for a long police chase, did you say?
For a long police chase, yeah.
Wouldn't say long. Long chase. Average size chase.
Just
it was a bit cold. It was a shorter chase than he would have liked.
There in the northern hemisphere.
Yeah, but it was a shorter chase than he would have liked. Not as I wouldn't say long.
Yeah,